Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Big Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I am your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And as always, I am so happy to be here because I get to hang out with amazingly fun, cool people. By the way, if you're not watching us live, that means that you missed out on the whole pre-show discussion, Okay, you missed out on everything we had to tell you about Fawlty Towers and Frasier and Night Court and Battlestar Galactica. You really missed out. So anyhow, think about watching us live so that you can see stuff like that, which, you know, sometimes our pre-shows are the part of the show everyone really wants to watch. Just saying.
The pre-show is the show.
Yeah. So now we'll get on with the recorded part of the pre-show, which runs all the way till we get to the very end when I ask all of you to tell everyone where they can find you and then thank everyone for being here. And then the whole pre-show is over. And I guess the actual show is just me thanking all of you for being here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Ian, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you very much. Another quietish week. I've been on a training class this week doing the AZ-104 Azure Administrator clause, which is sort of which was reasonably interesting, a bit dull in places, but it was interesting. Good group of people run by a German guy. So lots of as we went through the class. But fantastic. But no, it was a well delivered, good course. Sure. So
awesome.
I'll probably take an exam at some point.
The trick is very easy when you have German people on. You just start complaining about everything and they just feel right at home.
Yeah. We were having many complaints and good conversations. We had some really good conversations with him. He's a real nice fella. So, it was very good. Because the group that were here, there was a guy from Croatia. There was a couple of guys in sort of Armenia, Czech Republic, Belgium, Netherlands, the UK, couple of us from the UK. So it was a really good... it was run by my company for internal staff, and there was a whole host of different people, so there was a good mix of conversation. It was good fun.
That's awesome. So being in the United States and speaking American English, this is going to sound incredibly stupid, but when you said Z instead of Z, that sounded wonderfully exotic to me.
That's true. Correct. That is so correctly true. How Z is said. Z is there's none of this Z thing. I think Zebedee, which is a little character that bounced up and down in a TV show when I was a child, and that's nothing to do with the letter Z. As this guy, as a singer, a guy, I believe he's called JZ. See, that's correct.
Well, there's also Zebediah, but...
Oh, now I wish that you pronounced the letter J differently than it's pronounced in the United States, so that... You could say Jay-Z and it would be correct, but completely wrong for Americans.
Well, you could give it a Spanish go, couldn't you? Because then you change the J for a H.
Yeah.
Hey, Z.
Yeah, I love it. Absolutely. Oh, my God. It's wonderful. Ben, how are you?
I am very cold and very wet.
Yes, this checks out, and I feel an apology is in order, because what you're getting, the was supposed to swing through here and just completely missed us, and so congratulations on all of the Colorado snow that you're getting in Iowa.
Oh, it didn't miss us at all.
It nailed you hard.
Yes, it did.
Yep. Well, I'm glad that you're inside warm and dry. Yeah. Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing well. We're in the time of the year where, like, speaking about the weather, since you all talked about it, where it is really cold and sunny here. So the entire week it's been like really nice and sunny, and you think, oh, this is awesome, let's go outside. But it's like -3 degrees during the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, this is cold, and then it goes downhill from there. Like at night, it's even colder. So, yeah, Not gonna lie, February, my birthday month, not my favorite month, never been my favorite month. If I could skip it, I would skip it. Has nothing to do with my birthday, really. It's just not my weather. I just, like, I need spring, I need summer, I need warmth. Yeah, but I'm good. I'm happy. It's like, I don't know where the week went.
I have no idea.
To be fair, I was weak. I was sick for a good part of it, but I'm good now.
Well, I'm glad that you've recovered. Wow. Hmm? Words are hard sometimes.
Words.
I am glad that you have recovered and able to join us today.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Yes, I am working on my diction.
Yeah. You should get one of those corks. I have one somewhere.
One of those corks?
Yeah, you can, like, for a speech, like, if you want to work on your speech, on your diction, you put a cork in your mouth, and then you try to still speak clearly. Well, I learned that from my speech therapist, so.
I had no idea. All right.
It was also leaves something on your tongue as well.
In the other room, mm-hmm. And I assumed that that each session I need a new cork, so I better start drinking.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yes.
I am on board with this. Yeah. Rich, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you, Jeff. It's good to be here.
It's great to have you here. I can't see all of your shirt.
You've seen this one. It's the Legend of Zelda Last Crusade one.
Okay. So everyone that's watching live or watching the video, you just saw me do this.
You looked over the edge of the camera.
As if I was trying to look over the top of the window that Rich is in to see down to the rest of his shirt, because I am an idiot.
No, I think that's a perfectly normal thing. I think that's your brain adjusting to the idea that we're not in little windows, which is kind of adorable.
Yeah.
As well.
But bless my heart. Yeah. Wow. If I was in therapy right now, this would be a great one to talk to my therapist about. Mm-hmm. Ian, how are you doing?
Everybody else, mate.
I think I've gone through, like, everybody.
Oh, that's right. We started.
But Jeff, how are you doing?
We started with me today.
I'm clearly failing today. It took me mere moments to go from starting with Ian and saying, how are you doing, to looping all the way back around, trying to look over the edge of a digital window, and then asking Ian how he's doing, completely forgetting that I had just asked him moments ago. Oh, man, I am doing awesome today. Patrice, despite how I appear today, I'm actually doing well. And
clearly not in, you haven't had enough tea, or you're not awake enough.
Yeah, I am on my second cup of tea. And as I was making the second cup, I kept thinking, I really, really need this tea. So, yeah. Right now, I'm in the typical February winter preservation mode, which means when you're outside, you always look up. Because this is a time of year where the mountain lions are more likely to be napping in the trees in the middle of town, and they like to attack from above. So if they know you don't see them and you're just kind of walking along, there's a higher likelihood they'll just drop down out of a tree on you. So always look up, make sure the mountain lions know you're there. Also, it's nesting season for the bald eagles. So when you're looking up watching for the mountain lions, there's a good chance you're going to see bald eagles flying around.
And will they then crap on your head?
Which could actually cause serious damage.
Yeah. I think eagle poo on your head is the least. Mountain lions just might just randomly fall out of a tree on you. That's the thing. Yeah, we have that problem in Keighley.
It would be random. It would be very calculated.
Or for them. Yeah, absolutely.
For them, yes. Yeah. Have you ever seen an eagle poop?
I haven't.
It's like a gallon at once.
Oh, wow.
I'm not exaggerating. It is a surprisingly large quantity. It's a big volume of bird poo all at once.
I mean, it's also quite a big bird. So
It is, yeah.
I guess what you're hoping for is that he gets the mountain lion with it and scares off the mountain lion
and sort gives of you saves a chance you to escape.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, then they'll just attack out of spite.
Yeah, and then you'll be bitten, bleeding, and covered in eagle poop.
Mm-hmm.
It's that final insult, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Yep. Anyhow, yeah, who has the first story?
I think Rich
was stunningly fast. And
I was ready. I'd already copied and pasted. And it's The Verge, even though it's kind of giving me a headache. Sorry, I just hate it that much. So last night we had a Nintendo Direct, which, you know, they can be good or bad, like with many of these big company presentations. More often than not, we all go, oh, that was the worst thing ever and my life is ruined. But last night was actually quite good. And the big, most interesting headline from it, probably, is that we're getting Game Boy, Game Boy Color, and Game Boy Advance games on the Switch because I didn't have enough to do. So now I have to play Link's Awakening DX again, which is, it's not my fault. They just do this to me every couple of years. Like, Rich, here's a new version of this game you've played 7 times. Like, oh, okay, I'll do it again. And they've done it again to me now. But I'm quite pleased with it, to be perfectly honest. I started playing again last night. And Nintendo, for their kind of, they were criticized a lot for their online offerings, I think, when they first started on the Switch. And they're doing so much better now. We got the N64 version of GoldenEye, you know. It's incredible. Ooh. It's like being back at uni.
That was a really good, I remember that game with fondness, that one.
I have spent just hours and hours of my life sat with 3 friends in front of a 14-inch television, which was divided into 4 segments, trying to find each other on GoldenEye. And it's back now. And now I have Tetris. So that's all I need now. That's it. I spent God knows how long just sorting little blocks into piles last night. That was my evening. And it's great. So if you have a Switch, this kind of makes the online thing even better value for money. You can play Metroid 2 Return of Samus and various Zelda games and Mario games. And they've annoyingly not put Super Mario World 1 on there because I kind of need that one. But they've put the second one on. It's all good.
Yeah, they might just sell it as a special thing.
Yeah. I bet it will come eventually to the thing, Virtual Console. They're kind of killing it at the moment.
Yep. You know, the reason I am slightly face palming and smirking, that was going to be my cool thing.
Oh, sorry.
Well, you can still pick it.
It still can be your cool thing.
Exactly. No, but no rules against it.
Yeah, it also coincided the time where the Switch became the third best selling console of all time.
Yeah, they just passed the PS4, didn't they?
Yeah.
You know, I'm still rocking my OG Wii and loving it. And periodically, I think about picking up a Switch. And every time I think about it, I come up with a good reason why it's okay to not get it. And then you drop this news on me.
I have trouble finding fault with the Switch. Really, it's such a great experience, and it's such a unique experience within gaming. They do such a good job of that. And they must be people at Nintendo sort of looking over at the guys at Sony and Microsoft and them trying to build these beast powerhouse consoles that are like the equivalent of a $5,000 gaming PC for £400 in a small box, and just laughing. Just like, yeah. What are you doing? Why are you wasting your time? Look at this. Just this tiny thing we've made. There you go. Boom.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're doing it with something that has the power of a 7 or 8 year old iPhone.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say, there's no way it's as powerful as my iPhone 14, is it? No way. And yeah, go ahead.
I don't think it's even 64-bit.
Well, it doesn't have to be.
No. Oh. So right. it's such an incredible little machine.
I have a serious question.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to buy a Nintendo Switch, should I get the regular one or the OLED screen one?
I would get the OLED one.
It is that much mm-hmm. better.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like $50 more.
It's
well spent.
Okay. Damn it.
Is this happening? Are you doing it?
Not in this very moment, but
it, so it's happening
the,
again.
The mouse
Jeff.
Pointer is hovering over the button.
Well, okay, so here's the deal. All right, right here, this is where my brush, Ben. I will get my car and I will drive out to Iowa. I will slap you. I'm looking at this.
The roads are closed right now. Amazon,
and right here, Nintendo Switch, neon blue and neon red Joy-Con, $299, or neon Switch OLED model with white Joy-Con, $349. Free delivery today between 2 and 6 p.m.
Oh, so you could actually be playing it in a few hours.
I could be playing it in a few hours.
There you go.
Oh, wait. More buying choices. $299.94, $126 new and used offers.
Honestly, if I lived in a place where Amazon did same day delivery, I'd be screwed.
I could have two hour deliveries. Yeah. On a Sunday, 2 hour delivery.
Some stuff does come though. Some stuff will come same day in the UK. And for even
not in Austria. You're lucky because everything comes from Germany, you're lucky when you get it in the week.
Yeah, I have been able to order things from Amazon while I'm sitting at my table eating breakfast, and before I'm making lunch, it's delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm living in the future.
We are living in the future.
Hell yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now all we need is that drones drop it off, right?
Right. Isn't that happening some places? I think the co-op here have got little robot cars that go around like big trucks and do things like that. I keep seeing TikToks of people finding them stuck on flower beds. And they give them a little nudge and they toddle off and say, thank you. Then they go on their way.
I am having a serious problem right now. And that problem is not clicking buy now.
But what games would you get with it? I mean, you've got to get Mario Kart. That's a given, right? Like, you do Switch with Mario Kart. Yeah.
Does it even?
And then maybe
when you buy
Breath
this,
of the Wild.
Does it even come with any games?
Probably not. There are bundles. I don't know what's available in the US right now.
I'm guessing this one doesn't have any games with it.
No. Not the good OLED one.
Okay, so the OLED one, you buy it, and then you have to turn around and just pick up the subscription, so you've just got everything you want right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm switching to a different tab so that I don't drop $350 right now on a Nintendo Switch that'll show up in a couple hours and completely derail my entire rest of the day.
That's what they do. That's what they do. That's Nintendo's job, and they do it well.
Oh, man. I did not need to know about all this Game Boy stuff.
And what did they say was coming? There's more stuff coming. Trying to remember what they said. Yeah, we've got Legend of Zelda Minish Cap, Alone in the Dark, Metroid 2... I'm looking at the wrong guy. The Verge, I'm falling out with The Verge, seriously.
Maybe the what was it? The gayest game ever? Tetris?
What?
Someone said because there's only one straight piece. It's I'm joking.
And everyone pushes it off to the side.
Uh-huh.
Oh, there we go. Coming soon. That. Legend of Zelda Oracle of Seasons, Oracle of Ages, Pokemon Trading Card Game, Kirby Tilt and Tumble, Metroid Fusion, Kirby and the Amazing Mirror, Fire Emblem F-Zero, Maximum Velocity, and Golden Sun.
I want Cosmo. Don't know if you remember that game. What was it? Cosmo's Adventure?
I didn't have
it. It was a PC game, so.
I still kind of want to just get myself a Game Boy, an original Game Boy. The nostalgia with it, for, and it's weird because I never had one. We had a Game Gear. We had two Game Gears, which were great, but...
I mean, I picked up one of those really cheap Chinese ROM emulatory type Android devices that I occasionally take when I'm flying. I must admit, I don't use it that much, but that's great fun if you want a game, if you want to have all the games of everywhere. And most of those ones, are, there's some that are actually even emulate the same sort of the clamshell style one, you know, the flip style ones with the same sort of layout. My big mitts means I didn't buy one of the smaller ones, just I wouldn't be able to operate the damn thing. An old eye. So I got a, one that's more the same shape as one of those Sega Gear devices from the same era. That kind of, so, or Neo Geo, what were the ones where you had paddles on either side of the screen. But those are good fun. You can get them on Amazon.
Yeah, Rich, if you can find an OG Game Boy, I think you'll really love it. I had one when it was new.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, yes, the screen is like barely larger than an Apple Watch display, but
and it had no backlight.
Oh yeah, no,
it had
no
backlight, and it was monochrome. And yeah. If you're like me, and you played it in the car on the way up to the ski slopes in the winter, and then slid it under the seat, you learned the hard way that that an LCD screen will actually freeze when it's cold enough. And then you have to wait for it to thaw so that you can use your Game Boy again.
Yeah. They're the ones. See, yeah, they sell lots of them in CEX. I could get a, let's see, a Game Boy Pocket for £110 boxed.
Wow.
Actually, that feels like quite a lot of money. Original Game Boy Grey unboxed, £85. Dear God. But that's, yeah, I could just order one now. I'm not going to.
I see what my...
I'll get a Game Boy. You get a Switch. It's we'll all buy Nintendos. Who wants a GameCube?
I have one.
Well, there we go.
I also have the my original Game Boy.
Oh,
that's
cool. It granted is now very very yellow.
Mm-hmm.
But
because that's what the plastic does.
I also have my also have my Sega Master System, my Atari Lynx, and my Sega Dreamcast that I bought on day one.
Please tell me you have an Amiga computer stashed away somewhere.
I should have. I'm surprised I don't, because my second cousin used to work for Commodore.
Yeah.
I, do you know, occasionally play through the day that I took my Amiga 1200 to the dump.
Oh,
and I just remember leaving it there in the electrical recycling thing, thinking, I'm going to regret this.
Yeah. And you were right.
Yeah, I am very right. I was very right. That said, that was like, you know, that was an Amiga 1200. And the idea that it would still be working now without some serious soldering and recapping and that kind of thing, I'd be surprised if it did.
Yeah,
I see a lot of YouTubes of people recapping Amigas and that sort of thing, and it's I don't have the skills or the time or the patience or anything like that. I could go on eBay and buy one that someone's already. Okay, never thought of that.
There you go. God. Well, while still you're waiting for that crypto to come in, Patrice, tell us about your story.
Yeah, from Game Boys to. To stupid boys, I don't know what the transition would be. No, you might have heard, was it last year? I think it was last year. Maybe last, yeah, I was thinking it was last year. There was a pack of Ubiquity, maybe it was 2 years ago, I don't remember. And basically, they now figured out who did it and charged him with it. And it was one of their employees. So apparently this smart person used a VPN to hide his IP address and then basically ransomware his own company. Stole some data, got some money, I think he got paid, or at least did for a little while.
Wasn't he part of the security team researching
exactly the damage? He was part of the security team and he like tried to hide the fact that he had done it and all of that. So and what did him in was that his like his internet went down at home, and when it came back up, his VPN connection didn't reconnect.
And he didn't realize.
And he didn't realize it, and he connected to the AWS servers and whatever they were using. And that's how he got caught. So moral of the story is always check your VPN. No, in reality, don't do shit like this. Yeah, I mean, always check your VPN anyway, but don't do stupid shit like that. Not with your own company and not with anybody else, unless you're really a security researcher and you got hired by the company to do this for you, like like real. But not something like this. And definitely do not like ransomware your own company and then ask for money. Yeah, that's no legitimate researcher would ever do that.
That's a really bad business model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as I said, doesn't seem to have been very, very smart. He just took advantage of the knowledge and of the access he already had, basically. And yeah, got caught. So now he's looking at, I think, 35 years in prison.
Ouch.
Good for him.
Yeah, if you're stupid enough to get caught.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was quite bad for Ubiquiti because they lost about $4 billion because of the stock price that fell by 20% because of this. There was a lawsuit it must have been 2021 then, between Ubiquiti and Brian Krebs of Krebs on Security. Because that was the other part, that smart hacker, smart in quotes, that tried to like he went to Krebs and basically said, oh, like as a whistleblower, and said, yeah, like this is happening here and all of that. And yeah, I think the Krebs settled with Ubiquiti and took down the posts basically. He basically falsely claimed that he had acquired root admin access to people's accounts, which also wasn't true. So yeah. Quite the interesting story, like how it just shows you it's very often not the outside source that you have to be careful with, no, it's the inside.
Very mm-hmm. much. It's becoming more and more of a thing within the corporate world in the security space now, where the malicious actor doesn't have to be a script kiddie hiding in a room somewhere in the dark.
Yeah, it's or the bad Russian government.
The bad Russian government hacker team. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. some guy with a grudge. Mm-hmm. It's some guy who's going to leave and wants to try and con the company out of a load of money by sending it offshore into his own accounts.
Yeah,
it's really, really, it's as old as ages. To be honest, it's just we don't think of it as much that it someone is, yes. in the organization could be.
It's basically all the plot of Superman 3, if we're honest. Apart from the Superman True. Bit. Or the Richard Pryor subplot, obviously. Just mm-hmm. that bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Office Space.
Or Office Space. And it's yes. I mean, I've got an article here of a Coinbase employee who's just been sentenced for insider trading. Like, there is just story after story of, I tried to nick millions of dollars from work.
And I got caught.
One way
caught.
Or another. Yeah. And I got caught, and now I'm going to prison for a very long time. You know, and the FTX thing that's just happened as well. That was just entirely like
huge, isn't it? That's amusing beyond all levels,
that's
really.
Just like just the biggest fraud of all time, beyond anything that, you know.
And they always get caught.
Always get caught.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, completely.
I mean, literally, you guys steal the freaking staples from your office, they will catch you.
Mm. Well, there's. You have to reach a certain level before that doesn't become a problem anymore. I mean, there's proven that you can even become president of a country and nobody does anything about it. So.
It's true. Or prime minister of a country.
Or
just know a prime minister of a country.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to know people.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Crime doesn't pay.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I mean, it paid for a little while, but not in the long run.
Unless you're in government. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you're in
government. That's true. That is unfortunate too.
Yep.
Or right. You're a dictator of a really of a country.
See, that's the way I
country. You know.
Yeah.
Being the dictator of a country is a really good gig all the way up until the end, and then it's a really bad life choice.
I maintain if you're nice to people, it will be okay. I would like to test it out, but no one's up for letting me. I continue to look for a small nation that will let me just take over.
You know, I'll give you a chance.
Would you want that responsibility and aggravation, though?
Small nation is a big nation.
I'm willing to have a crack at it, you know.
Let's see if we can find, like, a small island, like, in the South Pacific or something.
Something like that. One of the, you know, if I'm a USSR country, something, one of the stones. We could, you know, just let me have a go for a couple of weeks. Be fine. I promise I'll give power back.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
And hope they haven't seen The Phantom Menace.
Yeah. Yep, good point. Yep. Okay. Ben, tell us about your story.
Well, this has been the big story of the week. Intel has released its new 13th gen i9 series HX processors. Yes, that is now officially a mouthful.
Also, mm-hmm. also known as the like the you need a nuclear power plant to run it.
Yeah.
Thanks for telling my entire story, Patrice.
I'm sorry.
But
I didn't
anyway.
Check. I just heard Intel and i9, and it was like that must be.
Yeah. The people have been trying to run benchmarks about this off of the newer released MacBook Pro or M2s, mm-hmm. but it's just like if you look at the stats, this isn't anywhere in the same league. The closest thing you'll get to this on the Apple side is the M1 Ultra. This isn't so much a laptop chip as it is one for a portable desktop. Because if you look at the specs, this is pretty much a one-for-one competitor to a Mac Studio with its own screen.
Mm-hmm.
It has they have 330-watt power supplies. The
Holy crap.
Yeah. Yeah. The chip. The CPU uses up to 157 watts, 55 watt normal. The GPU.
So on battery, it runs for 10 minutes?
Yeah, about. Except for. Except
what
for
battery?
Except for to make it actually have some battery life. When you're a battery life, the firmware kicks it down to about a third power.
Okay, so you get
50. So you've lost all the advantage.
Yes. You'll never see the P cores on battery power. And they also released NVIDIA 4090. That has 175 watts power. So
I'm looking at this MSI laptop that you've posted in the chat. Mm-hmm. Does it have wheels?
It
looks like it's one of those old luggables we used to have years ago.
Honestly,
that's ridiculous.
But, I mean, the performance on these is generally impressive. They will beat out last year's 12th gen ATX towers in the high end.
But why would you want your CPU in a big in a box that's A, heavy, B, although it deigns to be vaguely portable, will be very hot. It'll get so hot that it'll throttle the CPU down, so you can't take advantage of all the wonderful video cards and everything you got inside of it.
Well, I mean, these things are genuinely gigantic.
Mm-hmm.
But there are two use cases. Number one, gamers, obviously. And number two, if you're a very, very specific class of professional who basically needs to lug around a desktop, this will give you that kind of performance.
Yeah, but
I have been that man.
Just get one of those, like one of those little carrying cases, and put case. Like a yeah, a Pelican case, exactly. Yeah, and just put like exactly.
I've been in that kind of world, and as much as I used to carry a full lab for my training classes when I used to go out to sites and things, and I'd have the whole suite on there that I could fire up, and I needed 3 or 4 virtual machines. A fairly hefty one. I'd have 16, 32 gigs of RAM in the laptop I'd carry around with me in the old days. And honestly, it was more trouble than it was worth. And the minute I realized that I could run all this stuff in the cloud or on another server somewhere else that I've got VPN access to, I can then carry a light laptop.
Yeah. But I mean, But I mean, end of the day, why Intel refers to this as a mobile processor, this is a small form factor desktop CPU.
Yeah, now there it does well remember it like a nut. But I mean, would be superb.
You need a 300. I mean, just the power brick for this thing must be massive, like massive and heavy.
Mm-hmm. We know the bag for that. Yeah, it's going to be
crazy. Yeah. One YouTuber called it the size of his face.
Wow. Is there just one? Because I've seen laptops with 2 power supplies.
Oh yeah, yeah.
See, well, you have one to run the video cards.
Where your laptop
I've seen a few high end. Yeah. And they come with like Velcro straps to strap 2 things together, so you get something that's the size of 2 house bricks. And it's
please just buy it. Just make some space in your house for a computer and stop
I totally see the appeal of this, but I mean, definitely not from a work perspective. I don't think a creative would buy something. I wouldn't be looking for something with that much RGB on it. It's clearly geared towards gaming.
It's gaming, yes.
And it's that portable deck. I'm going to my mate's house. We're going to play this game. It's going to sit on a desk and be plugged in. It's not I'm taking it on the train and carrying it around a conference all day kind of laptop.
No. And nor am I going to go to a customer demo and I fish my laptop out of my bag and it glows up in multiple colors.
Exactly.
And my keyboard starts glowing.
Exactly.
That's not going to work.
But I do totally see the appeal. I think ultimately what gamers do a lot of with specs, and I'm guilty of it myself, is, you know, you've got 144 hertz monitor there. That's all you need to do is 144 FPS, and you've got like the biggest, most powerful graphics and processor behind it in the world that is probably not entirely necessary to do that. That said, I am noticing it's 4K, so maybe it can do native 4K at that resolution. I'm just going to shush. Didn't see that before I started talking. But anyway,
that's cool.
It's still, it is kind of crazy. That is pretty awesome, but it's so much money.
You know, the keyboard. Yeah, the whole RGB thing, clearly they're targeting a specific market with that. But it's also a Cherry mechanical keyboard. Holy crap.
There you go. See, so I'm getting a Game Boy, Jeff's getting a Switch. Come on, who's ordering this then? Patrice?
Yet, come
nope.
on.
Nope. Nope. Ben's not going to have hard.
Not a hope in hell.
All right. Well, then, since no one's going to buy this, Ian, tell us about your story.
My story is the perennial fun and games that is AI and ChatGPT. And this week, Google and Microsoft have both jumped in with their own variations upon a theme. Google's was so successful, they lost $1 billion in their shares because they demoed it. He did a calculation and all of it, asked a question. He got it wrong. Oh, for God's sake.
In the demo,
sake.
That's really bad.
On the demo, it got it wrong. Yeah. It was asked to tell a 9-year-old about discoveries from the James Webb telescope, and it got it wrong. Because it was basically I presume it was searching Twitter for the responses, and so it doesn't actually fact check the responses honestly. I mean, and there lies the danger in an automaton that goes away to gather information from places that there's no way of verifying. Sometimes there's not enough intelligence in it. It can't Does this result corroborate with more than one source before I report it as being bad?
Even if it's more than one source, like, I mean, I think that was there was Bing released theirs, and someone asked the question, and that was clearly wrong. But Bing thought it was correct because there was like an issue with Google like a couple of years ago where it got it wrong. And there was like a million articles about Google getting it wrong. So,
and user expression, long known in the world of IT, rubbish in, rubbish out.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the questions Bing's ChatGPT was asked was, does ivermectin cure COVID? And its response was, yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, is wrong.
You're completely wrong.
I mean, to be fair, it's a probably about as smart as most people are when they use the search engine. Because they type it in and they find like a million articles that say yes and they will believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, I was written, the article I posted, there's two articles I posted, one from the Beeb just giving a sort of a share loss thing for Google. The second one I found was on The Verge, which, again, the horrible website notwithstanding, there's an interesting article about, are these AI things actually any use or are they really just generating nonsense? And the author of the article...
you could
reading,
ask you could ask that about people.
Yeah, but it's using a large language model. I mean, the underlying technology is a thing called a large language model, which goes away and does the calculations of gathering the information to present you back a solution. And some people actually argue that's fundamentally not the right thing to be able to, as a tool, to pull back that information to give you the correct responses, because they fail on basic questions. You know, it's not...
You know what, guys? I think we should ask the chatbot representative about this. What do you think?
Nice, he's arrived. Yes, Arnie is the source of all truth. Is it safe to boil a baby? Yes,
I'm pretty sure that the expert says, "Come with me if you want to live."
It does indeed.
Yeah, Ian, had we needed an extra story for me today? It actually was the whole thing about Google losing share value because their search AI got the James Webb Space Telescope facts wrong. Yeah,
in fairness to everything, this is really great and interesting technology, and it does show you that it's still new and interesting technology, and it's not something that we can actually yet rely on as a trustworthy source for information yet. Getting there, but not yet. It's still that thing of, we're still not quite there. I mean, it's fallible as any of you or I that were asked the question about the space telescope, and we scratch their heads and go, oh, it's maybe that.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same answer that we've had for the internet basically since ever. Because it's on the internet, don't believe it.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be. Check your sources. Just because it says it there doesn't mean it's true.
Yeah, and even the sources might be wrong. I mean, that's a lot of times the thing. Like, I mean, even the sources might be wrong.
Yes. A perfect example, and this is from when people were... the only way the articles are being written. I remember years ago, there was this news story. It was about Apple and about a product they were going to release. And it very quickly became this thing where this is confirmed. There's all these sources. And I'm reading all this. And I'm like, holy crap. No, this is a speculation that John Gruber made on During Fireball 2 weeks ago. And it was very clear that this was a speculation. And so I started following all these articles back and seeing all the sources they're citing. And it was circular sourcing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all based on speculation. You know, like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if Apple did this? And it quickly spun into, this is something Apple's doing, and they weren't, and they didn't, and people were freaking out. And yes, so Just because you read it on the internet doesn't mean it's true, even if it's sourced.
Yeah. I mean, it's that goes way beyond that. I mean, the whole thing about, and that triggered decades of like a lot of things. The whole thing about fat is bad for you came from one single research paper that had a lot of flaws. And it was confirmed, and like everybody, like basically the entire like medical research field agreed on it for decades and piled stuff on it. And it was wrong. And we realized, and like there were people who knew it was wrong. And we like it took forever. So just because someone says something, even if you think they're trustworthy, doesn't mean they're right.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly.
Yeah. And I always say, like, the ChatGPT is like a 3-year-old. They read something and they say, yeah, that sounds right. Must be the right answer, right?
Yeah. To me, ChatGPT right now is like digital mansplaining. May not be right, but it's going to say it with confidence.
Yeah. I mean, someone on Mastodon said that. Like, ChatGPT is mansplaining as a service.
Oh my God, yes, that's it. Yes. Yes. And since I came up with the mansplaining independently of someone else, it's now two sources. Therefore, we can say with certainty that ChatGPT is mansplaining. That's how it works, right?
Yeah. Or in this case, botsplaining.
Yeah. Super unreliable.
Yeah, it's just quoting it. So it was Christine Lemmer Weber, and she said, I can't find the original, but it's basically a service that instantly generates vaguely plausible sounding yet totally fabricated and baseless lectures in an instant.
Yep.
With unflagging confidence in its own correctness on any topic, without concern, regard, or even awareness of the level of expertise of its audience.
Oh my God. Yep, that is spot on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what else is spot on? TSO hosts. and the difference between TSO hosts and these AI search tools is that TSO hosts actually gets it right because they know what they're doing. TSO hosts, they help you buy domain names, they provide web hosting, they provide bandwidth. And they're really good at it. And they're also incredibly generous because they are giving us the bandwidth we need to stream shows to you every single week. And they are giving us the hosting space we need. So there's a place for the website and for all of the show files to live. So you can watch or listen to your favorite episodes anytime you want. Without the generous support of TSO hosts, we would not be here. So we really, really appreciate what they are doing for us. What they're asking in return, so easy. Go out on social media and thank TSO hosts for supporting us. Simple as that. And instead of telling you which social media to go out on, because, hey, we live in crazy times, pick the one that you like best and go use that. Just let them know that you appreciate that they're here for us. And if it turns out that you need to buy domain names or you need to get some hosting, please use them because their services are really good. And if you need to see how reliable they are, I mean, we are here every single week. Our streams don't drop out. When you're watching or listening later, the streams don't drop out. The website is always there. So we have years of testing to validate that they are solid and reliable. Anyhow, so if you need to buy domain names, if you are ready to get some hosting, go to TSO Hosts, get all your stuff in your cart, and then at checkout, use the discount code BTN20, and you get 20% off your order. So not only are they being so generous as to help us out, but they're being generous by giving all of our BTN family a discount as well. So thank you, TSO hosts, for being here for us. All right, Patrice, are you feeling well enough to tell people about the chat, or do I need to make everyone cringe and do it?
No, I can do that. So it is quite cool and it is quite easy. It's much easier than ChatGPT. It's also, I mean, I would say more correct usually, and that's our chat. Not sure about the correctness, but okay. So if you're listening to this live and you want to like talk to us live and chat with us and see the links that we're posting to the articles and all the stuff, like sometimes we write something in there and we don't talk about it on the show. That happens. We have sometimes little side conversations in there. You can head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and join our live chat and do that too and talk to us live. That's really cool. You can do that every Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show, and Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show. Always pays to keep an eye either on your favorite social media or check the show times on our website, because sometimes, very rarely, they might change if there's some scheduling conflict. So keep an eye on that. Let's say you're listening to this in your favorite podcast player of choice, which is totally fine. That's what podcasts are for. They're recorded for that reason. It's not a problem. Unfortunately, you can't do live chat because that's not how this works, unless you have not a time machine.
A TARDIS.
With a TARDIS, you could do that. But usually you can't. But you can still at least get to all the cool things, the links. You can see literally what we've done in the chat. Doesn't even require an API access or anything for that. Literally,
that's lucky.
Doesn't require it. Very lucky. Just head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there's a little calendar that pops up. You have to select the date. And the date you select for today's show is today's recording date, which is the 9th of February, 2023. And then you're in and you can see literally everything we've talked about.
Awesome. Thank you, Patrice. You are so tolerant, because I just drop that on you every single week.
I like doing it. Not a problem.
Well, thank you. And now it's time for some cool things. So who has the first cool thing?
Oh, God. Oh, girls.
Holy crap. Patrice got in.
Patrice beat us all in there. Go on, then.
See? Okay.
Ladies first. Away you go.
Ladies first. Okay. TV show. I have picked this and I checked 2 years ago, almost exactly. Not almost exactly to the day. 2 years ago. It is a show on Netflix called Firefly Lane. And it's a Katherine Heigl and what's her name now? I'm blanking on names. I'm always good with names.
Sarah Chalk.
Sarah Chalk, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it's a show. Basically, it's a show about a decade-spanning friendship between two women. From like early childhood, like high school and stuff, to like, I think they're in their 40s, or at least supposed to be in their 40s. Not sure the timeline works out exactly, but doesn't matter. But it's a really, really, really good story, and it's a really good show. And it has everything. It has the cool thing about this show is it's not the picture perfect and everything is perfect and whatever. It's real life, like real life issues, like the family issues that you have, and divorces and kids and like work issues and social unrest and stuff that happens in the world, all of that. And like ups and downs of a friendship. Like, you don't always get along and you don't always like just have the happy memories and everything. And it's, I would say, very, for a TV show, quite real. And the season two is out. So the season one was 2021, I think. 2021. And now season two is out since, I think, December. And I finally got around to watching it. And I binged it because it was really good. It's a really, really good show. I cried a bit. I laughed a lot. Like, as I said, it has everything. The only thing it doesn't have is more episodes. Because I was like, why does it end after 9 episodes? There is a third season hopefully coming. I think they got, I think Katherine Heigl got COVID or something, and then they had to stop. So I think they were 1 or 2 episodes short. I think 1 episode short at least. But I hope there's a third season, because it's really good. It's a really good show. I said, awesome. The interesting thing is, it is like, it's different actors. Like, the Katherine Heigl and Sarah Chalk play their characters, I think, in two, I think two of the timelines. But there's also other actors that like play the younger versions of them. They don't play kids. Like that probably wouldn't work anyway. But it's like it's also like there's like 70s stuff, there's 80s stuff, there's 90s stuff, there's like mid like the odds, which is the early 2000s. So like you also get a really nice view of those decades. Because as I said, it's about they jump back and forth, so it's not linear. It's like, okay, they might talk about something and then like in the here now, some issue, whatever with their marriage, and then go back to when they were dating and whatever. Like as I said, it has a lot of really interesting things. And as I said, it's not the perfect world where like the perfect parents and all of that. No, I mean, it's like real like messy life, how it is.
Awesome.
Go watch it.
Okay. And two seasons.
Two seasons, for now. On Netflix. Cool. So if you have Netflix, you already got it.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, Ian, you were next in line. So tell us about your cool.
Apologies, I may cost people some money. If you click on the link, you can get a Tom Baker Fourth Doctor Build-A-Bear. And I couldn't resist. I saw this before Christmas. I asked my wife to get me it for Christmas. I couldn't resist. And it's lovely. It really is. I'm not normally a huge soft toy person, but it's absolutely lovely. And he's got the full long scarf and everything. And it's very nice. It sits on the sofa with me watching TV. And it's just a very nice thing. Anybody feels like... you can also get... There is the other doctors as well. If you click on the link, there's also... you can get 10th Doctor, 12th Doctor Capaldi. Outfits as well, Capaldi and Tennant. Nice. So it's just a bit of fun, and I'm very pleased to have it. Tom sits there and watches telly with me.
That is fun.
Like I say, it's fun, and I may cost people. I think they've got some money off at the moment. Yeah, it was now £40. I don't know whether they're available in the US as well or not, but. Because Build-A-Bear, I think, is a US company, isn't it?
Yeah, Build-A-Bear, I think so. At least in the US, they have stores. You can go in and Build-A-Bear in the store.
Yeah, we did have, but I don't know if they're still around.
No, they are. They're definitely still around. I nearly took the boys for their birthday last year because they have a huge line of Pokemon things.
Yeah, they still do. Oh, yeah, I was just flicking through. There's a huge line of Pokemon stuff, all the mini Yodas and things. Any amount of Yodas, Harry Potters.
But yeah, there's one in Trafford, and we walked past it, and the looks on the faces of the people who work there. Like I've never met anyone who was in Vietnam, but I imagine that the look on that, it's very similar to the people who work in Build-A-Bear shop.
I can only imagine. We ordered it from the internet and it appeared in a box.
Yeah, but the stores themselves, I don't go in there. I did not need to go in there. And so I'm glad that we didn't do that. There are lots of pre-made Pokemon-based plushies.
I have never been in a Build-A-Bear. Cool. And apparently... I need to make a point to never go in one. So thank you for warning.
No, it is some very. If you need something from Build-A-Bear, the internet is available. We'll happily send it to your door without the need for the trauma of going in a Build-A-Bear store.
See, that's the scary bit, though, because you buy them the bear, and then that's not over then, because bear has different outfits, and then there are new outfits each season. And maybe Pikachu now needs a Christmas hat, and that's £40, and it goes on and on.
That's why I bought the one thing that delights me from my childhood that sits there and cheerfully reminds me of the Doctor that I loved, and that's it. And I don't need anything else. It's quite nice being an adult and buying things like this.
Have you seen that they have a Ted Lasso Build-A-Bear line?
Yeah, yeah, I saw that when I was flicking through, but I don't watch that series. But yes, there is a Ted Lasso.
You can get a Ted Lasso Build-A-Bear with a big mustache and sunglasses. That's incredible. Yeah. And now I want that.
I did warn I might cost people money.
Yeah, there's one that comes with a little box of biscuits that he's baked. That's incredible.
Can I have the biscuits and just skip the beer?
Oh, man. Oh,
I mean, there's Black Panther bears and Shuri bears, and there's all sorts of cool stuff.
They know what they're doing.
Oh, man, yes.
Yeah, sure.
Sell the thing that has other things that you buy for it.
Like, I mean, Barbie is so successful.
That's why Barbie, yeah. And those bracelets, Pandora bracelets.
Mm-hmm.
Men of the world, buy your wife or girlfriend a Pandora bracelet. And then for every Christmas or birthday from then on, you just buy another thing for the Pandora bracelet.
Until it gets filled up and then you have to buy another one.
It's so easy, though.
I've been there, done that. I'm taking notes right now.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the character section of what they've got, I mean, Harry Potter, E.T., Friends, Lion King, Lord of the Rings.
That Ted Lasso mustache.
Ted Lasso, Where the Wild Things Are, Willy Wonka.
Oh, Puss in Boots.
I mean, there's some fabulous stuff there. I make no apologies. I think it's wonderful.
God.
I had to see Puss in Boots the other day. It wasn't bad.
Was it not terrible? I did
one. No, not terrible at all. Quite enjoyable. Ah. And an interesting study in narcissism and self-image and other things. I've had quite a lot of psychology friends talking about it on the internet.
Oh, right.
It's quite a good film. Not bad at all. But I think unless you're taking little kids, there's no reason to watch it. It's one of those. Like, it's not that good. Like, if you have to see it, fine. You'll be okay. But
don't go out of your way.
No.
Yeah.
You can watch better films.
All right, Ben, I think you're next.
Well, we have already talked about this one since, so this will be short.
You're just trying to manipulate me into clicking buy now, aren't you?
You not bought that yet?
Yes,
Just do it.
Go on. Spend the money.
We should have a podcast where we bully Jeff into buying things.
We'll call it Spend Jeff's Money.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like Ben Stein's money. Only it's actually Jeff's money, and he's buying stuff for himself.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to set up a GoFundMe
anyway,
just so I could buy stuff on the show.
Yeah.
No, we need sponsors.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, we'll have sponsors.
We can make it look like I'm buying, and then it's a sponsor products. All right, Ben, explain to me.
I was more thinking they pay us to buy someone else's product.
Yep. It is the Switch OLED model. It is $350. Lots of games, lots of Joy-Con alternatives. This can be pretty much any kind of gaming machine you want it to be. Everybody should have one.
We do.
Especially Jeff, right now.
Wait, it has an Ethernet port on it too? I mean, I knew it had HDMI, but it has Ethernet as well?
Well, the OLED cleared up a lot of...
The dock does.
It cleared up a lot of the shortcomings of the original one. It's got that built-in Ethernet port instead of using I have to use a USB dongle for it on mine. In fact, I don't bother with it anymore. Because if you've got good Wi-Fi, it doesn't make a difference, really. But it's got more built-in RAM. It's got a better kickstand on the back than the original. The kickstand on the back of the original is awful. It's like a gesture of a kickstand. It's not really anything usable.
So,
but do you know what? The OLED one is actually quite well priced here. It's only $285 on Amazon, which is not bad at all.
So everyone else, Amazon has any open box deals on the Switch? Hey, save an extra $20, why not?
Well, that's a game right there, isn't it?
There you go.
Oh God, no.
Yeah. Well, nearly. It's an indie deal. It's an indie download game.
Anyhow. All right, so what I'm hearing is I need to get an OLED Nintendo Switch, and then complain about how Ben manipulated me into buying it with Rich's help.
Hell yeah,
that seems fair. I'll take that. Yeah,
Sneed is your second episode of a podcast.
Oh my god, people. This is going to be a really expensive show. The Jeff buys stuff show.
Jeff is beginning
to regret inviting me on BTN.
No, that was a pre-existing problem.
Oh man. Well, we all have to live with the consequences of our life choices.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, then we've done everyone else's cool thing, right?
I haven't done mine.
Oh, sorry. Shit.
I mean, dang, Rich.
It's okay. Have I done the G-Shock?
No.
You got another one?
Wait, is that the one where you picked one for a specific theme?
Yeah, it's the blue one. I can't remember if I've talked about it, if I've had it that long. If I've
you
done
don't
it,
remember, I... so you haven't.
Okay, fair enough. So I finally got the G-Shock, and it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Apart from being like the most indestructible watch I own by a long shot, it is just so useful and spot on for the money. It actually has a Find My iPhone button. So I'm in hog's heaven with this.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
It's so cool, yeah.
Your top features, I mean, apart, you've got your time, your dates, your day, your world time, alarms, stopwatch, timers, etc. But it's Bluetooth, so it's linking to my phone. I can control it all from there. I can use it for geocaching. Sorry. There's a little one click hit and my phone will log where I am and put it on a map. Bluetooth time syncing. So every morning at 4 a.m., it checks in with my iPhone to make sure it's still at the right time. Bluetooth for that. Sorry, solar powered as well. So there's no charging of any description and no need to ever change the battery. And as I say, there's a Find Your iPhone button. Oh, and it self-illuminates if you tip your wrist 40 degrees. So you don't actually ever have to press the light button as well. And a steel at £88.
That's a really good. That's a good price for one of those. I have a variation upon a theme, that one.
Oh, that one. That one's also on my list of G-Shocks to get.
Yeah, I would. It's great. It's now my de facto travel watch because I can simply let it, my phone, when it picks up the signal for where I am, my watch immediately changes to the right time.
It's so cool, isn't it?
It's just so really cool. Nice. And I've been using it to track my lunchtime walks, this one, because it's a step counter built into this guy. And that's what I use it. I stick it on my wrist and track my walk, and it does all I need it to. It triangulates with my phone rather than using rather than having a GPS itself. And it's all I really need.
Mm.
You know, in terms of the functionality, I don't really need much more. I've done all the heart rate things and everything else, and honestly, I don't need them anymore. So it makes sense.
Yeah. You know, so
if I didn't already have an Apple Watch and was in the market for a watch, that would be perfect because it would address all of the complaints that I would have about a watch, you know, charging or battery life, keeping the time correct, and then being lazy and not wanting to hit a button to see a display. But I already have my Apple Watch and I wear it every day and I hate wearing watches. So I guess I'm not getting a G-Shock.
I love wearing watches.
They do exist.
On today.
Yeah, I can't leave the house without a watch now. I have to keep one in the car just in case I've accidentally left the house without a watch on.
SUF91 in the glove box.
That's it, yeah.
You should ask Greeny. He probably has a box full of them for like
right. Mm.
These sort of exist in that weird space between like basic digital watches and cleverer things like the Apple Watch. I mean, when I look at the Apple Watch, I get that they're great. I haven't come close to buying one ever because there's too much stuff I'm just not ever gonna use. You know. And it's not a criticism of the watch at all. It's just that it's not, I don't know. I don't think it's for me at all. I have no need for it, but it's nice to have something that just has a couple of those creature comforts that, you know, like the Find My iPhone, the time syncing, the that kind of thing, that is just, it's nicer to have.
Yeah.
Like, I like Apple Watch. I don't know what I'd do with it.
I had one, and I always found that it was a more of an interruption than something useful for me. So, particularly in my old day job, when I'd be stood up talking to people and my watch would ping me some email that I didn't need to see. And so therefore I get a vibration or a noise, partly because I hadn't untrained it immediately at the first point.
Yeah,
it just became more of an irritation than it actually. And so I unreasonably fell out with it and decided that, no, I'd much rather have something that ticks. And this one I've got on my wrist today is mechanical, and it will tell me the time when I get it, when I look at it.
What is that time thing you keep talking about?
This has got a little tiny machine inside that ticks, and then it records the hours, and so I know that it's now a little after 8:25 in the UK, and that's the TARDIS, fine. That's all I really need to know. I'm not in the TARDIS today. I might get that back. I might be an image to get back. I'll get a TARDIS. Get a TARDIS for the background.
All right. Well, now that we've done everyone's, I guess it means it's my turn. And mine is a TV series that I was not expecting to like and fell in love with immediately. And that is The Last of Us on HBO.
You told me about this.
Yes, like in the middle of the night for me,
mm-hmm.
I spontaneously sent you a message because I had to tell someone.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the deal. I didn't want to watch this because it's based on a video game. And my assumption is that if you're basing a whole storyline off a video game, then you inherently have problems because you have to like just make stuff up that doesn't fit with the game, or it's too thin because you're trying to match like what's from cutscenes or something. And this, it turns out, is a really well-written show. And there's 4 episodes out right now. I've watched the first 3, and it is amazing writing. It is a captivating story, and it's just, it's really well done. You get the tension when you need it. You get you get some humor mixed in with it. You get characters that are written really well so that you can have some sort of emotional attachment to them. Either you like them or you really don't like them or whatever. And you get these really, really well thought out stories to go along with all these characters. And that's in only 3 episodes for me so far. The premise is...
I saw a post on Facebook about the 3rd one being the whole world of male internet was getting all upset because I think it's probably a couple of gay characters maybe. I haven't even watched it, so I had no idea. But apparently it's excellent. But the rest
it's
of the more sane, the other sane
I've
side
seen.
Of... yes, exactly. Yeah. And on the other side of it was, it's a ton of people saying how wonderful it was. And it was a really, really good episode. So I'm almost tempted to watch that 3rd one just because it's supposed to be an excellent bit of TV. Full stop, regardless of what format's in.
It was really only Ben Shapiro kicking off about that. And he's just a moron anyway.
It got really good reviews.
People who actually know what they're talking about. He shouldn't talk, but he shouldn't especially talk about films and television. He has a history of going off on one and making himself look like an even bigger fool than he already did. Hmm. So you watch it. It's probably awesome. I nearly started the other night, to be honest, with this show. I've heard really, really good things.
Yeah.
And it's... I have my issues with the games it's based on, but those issues kind of led me to believing it would be a good TV show. Because my problem with the games is I don't like them as games. I feel like they're cutscenes with the game is merely a thing to move in between to the next cutscene. They're more like...
But that's perfect for a TV show.
That's exactly what I'm saying. That's my point. Yeah. That's what they did. They made really good stories and a compelling thing that people wanted to go through. I don't like the games, but I'm totally willing to take in the story.
I haven't played the games ever. And honestly, I didn't have a firm understanding of what the games were about. From what I understood, it was like post-apocalyptic first shooter. That was my take on what this is.
They're quite on rails. It's very move through this specific set of motions to get to the next cutscene kind of thing. And that's I've never felt that there's any challenge from a gaming perspective. Mm. It really is just follow steps, press the X button when it flashes up on the screen, etc. That kind of thing. And eventually the next bit of the story will play. It's fine if you like the story, but when I'll watch that in TV show form. That's the best format for it.
But I mean, that can also be fun. I was just thinking about Monument Valley, for example. That is literally what the game is about. Like, follow the steps to get, like, solve the puzzle, get to the thing, and then there is a cutscene.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like, and that can be fun.
I haven't finished Monument Valley.
Me neither. But it's fun.
Monument Valley. That's the one with the Escher-like puzzles. I did finish that.
No, I didn't.
And I really enjoyed it. And you're right. You solve a puzzle to see the next cutscene, so you can see what the story is. Mm-hmm. And it's like the reward for the puzzle is getting to see more of the story.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, I wanted to mention that the text that you send, like the text that we send, are usually like, oh my god, like, have you seen XYZ show, like episode, or like whatever, when there's a new episode of. Literally anything that we enjoy is like, oh my god, go ahead, have you watched this, like, this is awesome. That's our text mostly.
Yeah. and I like to think that because of it we both get to see some really great shows.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For those of you that don't know what the premise of The Last of Us is, there's like this infection that ravages the world. And so you have people that aren't infected that are living in a society that's completely collapsed, that are just trying to survive. And then in this case, you're just following a couple of those characters and like a mission that they're on.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, if it sounds really close to The Walking Dead, it kind of is.
That one I didn't like.
I never watched The Walking Dead. I did, however, read the first few episodes of the comic book. Oh, so I guess that means I do get what you're saying. Yeah, I had to talk through that one. Clearly, I need more tea. Anyhow, so my pick is The Last of Us. All right, so we've gotten through everyone's picks now. Ian, where can people find you?
People can find me here on The Big Show every Thursday. Otherwise, you'll find me in the Slack room occasionally hanging out, the BTN Slack room, our Slack channel. Otherwise, I'm on LinkedIn. My name is Ian Brown. I work for Veeam. That's usually the easiest places to find me.
Awesome. And Ben, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me at my interim site. I completely forgot about it for a second. RaythigTech.blogspot.com. You can also find me on your social media instance of choice.
Awesome. And Patrice, now I'm thinking we need to remember Ben's website for him so that next week when he forgets, one of us can chime in and remind him where his content is. Yeah. Patrice, where can people find you?
I'm here every week. Every week on here on the Big Show on Thursdays, the Mac Show on Fridays. Everything I'm doing, including all the social media, even though I think I've still the Twitter listed, but I'm other than to post every week that we're on air here or that we're live, I don't ever go there. So don't try to reach me there, I would say. But yeah, any and all of that you can find on thepatrice.com.
Awesome. And I'm with you. I haven't been back on Twitter since the third-party app API was shut down.
No, even before that. But you're not missing anything.
Yeah, and I suppose after today, as we record February 9th, that means that anything that I had using services to cross post, like from Instagram to Twitter, that's done, which means
they postponed it till next week. So
they did.
Yeah, to the 13th, I think.
Oh, well, then that means until the 13th, there will still randomly be content that shows up on my Twitter feed because of Instagram. But other than that...
it might not show up, but not because the API is dead, but because Twitter is just broken. So,
right, like yesterday. Yeah. Yeah. Not broken is Rich. Rich, where can people find you?
Hey, you can find me on YouTube at Early Morning Barking and on TikTok at the same username, Early Morning Barking. And I'm doing a lot of live streams on TikTok at the moment. So
awesome.
Try and catch me on there, sort of late evening UK time. I put a thing up on my channel saying when there's going to be. I'm 10:45 tonight for anyone who's watching live. So yeah, lots of TikTok lives and things like that.
Awesome. All right. And Ian, where can people find you? I did that on purpose. It was a lot funnier in my head. Anyhow, all right, so I'm on the various socials as Jay Gamut. The ones that I'm really active on right now are Mastodon and Instagram. Then let's see, podcasts. Most Tuesdays on Mac Voices Live with Chuck Joyner. And then here on The Big Show on Thursdays, most Thursday evenings on In Touch with iOS with Dave Ginsberg, and then back here on Fridays for the Mac Show, and then also on the Context Machine with Brian Chaffin, and
where Brian bullies you into buying things, right?
I get bullied into buying a lot of stuff. Although on the Context Machine, I will continue to bully Brian on his completely incorrect belief that Mastodon is a bad and failing social media platform and that everyone should go to Post instead.
No.
And Brian is wrong.
Yes. Yeah. Very much so.
Yep. So I will lovingly continue to give him a very hard time about that. Yeah. Okay. So with that, thank you to all of you for being so tolerant of me today. And it's awesome to get to hang out with every single one of you. I truly look forward to Thursday afternoons and then Friday mornings because I get to hang out with my whole BTN family. You're wonderful, every one of you. Hey, yeah, that's right. Love for everyone. All of you that watch or listen live, thank you for being here and being part of the show. And if you've been participating in the chat rooms, thank you for being there as well. And everyone that watches or listens later, I'm so glad you're part of the BTN family as well. Thank you, TSO hosts, for being here and supporting us. Give them some online love and let them know that you appreciate them. And thanks to Mueller for making sure we have people for shows every week. Thanks to Ewan for just being Ewan. And with that, tune in next Thursday for the Big Show again. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow for the Mac Show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.